Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Hey, welcome to Montana Talks. This is John Jackson. We are back. Aaron Flint is out in Big Sky. He's going to be coming to you from remote at the 8 a.m. hour. And until then, it's just us. For all of you guys that are just getting up and moving around this morning or just checking out some news, just turn on the radio, major developments to recap the major developments of the last 24 hours. There is now a ceasefire between Iran and Israel, and President Trump had a major stake in that and was pressuring both sides to stop. And he might have invented here what people will begin to call the Trump doctrine, is departing from our past history of how we become involved in overseas conflicts. Is he got into this quick and got out, achieved a goal and got out, not getting in there and getting mired down in nation building and regime change and all this other crapola that keeps us overseas in these countries for 20 years and trillions of dollars and thousands of lives lost. Get in, get out, accomplish a mission. Let it go from there. On that subject, it occurred to me. Now, I could recap for you guys here this morning. For the last 10 days, the incredible anti-American, subversive, communist shrieking from the left, from the Democrats, from all the communists out there, about every single move that Trump makes and how every single thing he does is wrong and how everything is a scandal. I could tell you all that and y'all would be real mad about it and all that. But see, I think that's a mistake that our side makes all the time, and I'll explain it to you. You notice how when, like during the Biden administration, how many scandals was Biden involved in? I mean, how often did we see just the fact of his corruption involved with his son, all the millions they got from overseas, all the stuff from that laptop, the fact that the man was a drooling vegetable and had no business being in that White House? We were bringing these things up all the time, right? Screaming about him. But did the mainstream media and the Democrats, did they ever waste one breath on it? No. You know what they do? Well, every time we invent a scandal, or we have a scandal about their side, they don't peep a mumbling word about it. They ignore it. They ignore it, and they ignore us. They give it no oxygen. They act like it doesn't even exist. And that's what we have to start doing with them. We take the bait far too often and jump. Anytime they say something, we have to jump right in there and talk about it and give it oxygen. No, we need to stop that. All of us need to stop that. And particularly y'all, all y'all out there that are influencers and out there on social media, no more. There's the music. We will be right back after the break with more Montana Talks.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With mainly sunny conditions across the area for today, we'll see high temperatures ranging from the mid and upper 70s. Isolated shower storm chances late towards Billings mainly. As we head into tonight, still a few isolated showers or storms possible, mainly towards the Billings area. Partly cloudy otherwise, with overnight lows from the mid-40s in Bozeman to the mid-50s in Billings. That will see partly sunny skies Wednesday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health. The National Institutes of Health, or NIH, announces it will fund $10 million in long-term health studies after the East Palestine, Ohio train disaster. The government funding comes more than 2 years after the train derailment that released more than 1 million pounds of hazardous chemicals into the soil, air, and water. Several train cars burned for more than 2 days, leading to air pollution and environmental damage. Residents have reported health issues, including respiratory problems, post-traumatic stress, and some causes of cancer. Last year, the NIH funded 6 short-term research projects totaling over $1 million, but the new funding will take a more in-depth look at possible long-term impacts. The NIH director saying in a press release, quote, NIH is working to ensure that the people of East Palestine and the surrounding communities are listened to, cared for, and get the answers they deserve. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Anna Eliopoulos, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Don't forget the number to call for Montana Talks is 406-294-0970. And speak of the devil and he shall appear. We're talking about New York and the mayoral race. And we have on the phone, we have our buddy Nathan from New York. What's up, brother?
Hey, how you doing, brother? Hey, sorry I left you hanging there. I had actually working. So
you can't let that get in the way. Come on.
Where are my callers? I'm like, oh, geez, I got to hang up on work and call. How we
doing? So, what's it? Give us your prediction.
I'm assuming you covered this earlier about this crazy socialist Muslim guy?
A little bit.
About this? Okay. A week ago, I would have told you that Cuomo was a lock, but you never go broke underestimating the American public, right? Well, you'll never go broke underestimating the communism here in New York. I think the Muslim guy's going to win. I think Mamdani's going to win. He's up by a couple of points. He's promising the world. Rush Limbaugh used to say, nobody votes against Santa Claus, right? Well, this guy's Santa Claus. He's giving away all kinds of freebies. He's going to have government supermarkets. So I think the wackos are going to come out and vote for him.
I just saw a poll not even a week ago that Cuomo was 10 points ahead. And boom, next thing you know, you got Mamdani here up 2 points.
Yeah, don't fear the Zoltan. What was that movie?
Don't mess with the Zoltan. Yeah.
The Zohar or whatever it was. Yeah. It's not the one that Tom Hanks got. That's the guy who helped out Tom Hanks in Big, right? Zodan. But, yeah, I think the news cycle moves quickly. And, you know, take away all the craziness out of him, right? But he's a young, energetic, attractive guy. And the voters are dumb. And it's a Democrat. See, the problem with New York, and people don't probably understand, New York's blue. It's Democrat. The Republican has no shot. So whoever wins this primary is going to be the mayor. So this guy is going to win, and then he's going to be up against probably Curtis Sliwa, who ran last time, and he'll get murdered. You know, he'll lose by 40 points.
Let me ask a question here. With New York has also long been known as a stronghold for Jewish voters. How do you think these Jewish voters are going to break as far as their votes here? I mean, do you see them voting for this radical Muslim?
I do, and I can tell you why. Can't speak for the Jewish brothers and sisters, but I will tell you from being in New York my entire life. I think most New York Jews are secular, and they're liberals before they're Jews. They are committed to the cause. They are bone deep Democrat socialist, you know, FDR. You know, like when you just walk into somebody's house back in the 60s, you see like a picture of Elvis and the Pope and John F. Kennedy. These people have pictures of FDR in their kitchen. I mean, they are hardcore leftists. And I think that outweighs the Jewishness.
Well, a lot of people don't understand, too, that you have Central Park rapists on the New York City Council, And I mean, and there's more. I'm sure you can name them off. So, you know, just the Star Wars bar cast of crazies that are already in their city government.
Oh, the canteen. Dude, we deal with, I mean, I don't mean to take up a lot of time here, but I mean, you have no idea how far it goes. There's one here. I would encourage your folks there to look up something called Local Law 97. Local Law 97 was passed by the City Council of New York, and it deals with carbon emissions, and they have to be net zero by 2030, and the amount of penalties, it's just a tax on businesses. So I work in construction and property management stuff. We have to plan now for millions of dollars of extra costs because it's impossible to comply with this law. You can't generate electricity the way they want you to. It's basically everybody is going to be mandated to levitate 6 inches off the ground starting in 5 years. And if you don't, you're going to pay a big penalty. And it's like, this is the level of wackiness. It's like they're absolutely bad. They're crazy.
And what they all expect, if they saw it under Biden, they saw it under Obama, is their craziness we will end up picking up the tab. They will get their people in the U.S. Congress and then their man in the White House to subsidize all of it. We out here will end up, all of us, paying the tab for it. What do you see as the, let's say one more question I'll let you go. What do you see as the true craziness, the extra craziness that's going to happen if this guy Mamdani wins?
Like, was it a single crazy event or crazy?
Just as far as his policies differ from any other Democrat.
I don't think it'll be different. I think it'll just be more so. I think it'll just be exponential. Now, I think, but I will give you one conspiracy, crazy thought. I think what'll happen, and what better not happen, and what they better hope doesn't, is that ultimately New York is, there's only a few profit centers in New York, and the big one is Wall Street. And Wall Street doesn't really need to be on Wall Street. I mean, Wall Street, it's computers. They could set up shop in Kansas. They don't have to be in New York, right? But traditionally, they take it for granted. He could annoy the business people to the point where they start leaving in droves. And if he loses a few financial companies, that's a big problem. And that's something that would destroy New York as you know it.
Beautiful wrap up there. There, Nate. We're hearing the music right here and coming up to the break. Thank you very much for the call. That is, once again, here on Montana Talks, we get expert callers that have their boots on the ground and vast experience as to what they're talking about on these different topics. That's why you always have to be listening to Montana Talks.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There's a concept used to describe different ways of producing energy known as energy density. You might think of it as the amount of land needed to produce a given amount of power from different fuels, wind, solar, coal, gas, or nuclear. Physical footprint on a wind farm or a solar farm is huge compared to fuels with higher energy density such as gas and especially nuclear. But as blogger Austin Vernon has described, despite the extremely high energy density of nuclear fuel, technology has now emerged as a low-cost way to produce electricity, especially compared to alternatives like gas. And the reasons why might surprise you. Yes, regulation and fear of contamination are factors, but the biggest factor is purely economic. Under current technology, a controlled nuclear reaction energy source is a low-heat source, much lower than a combined cycle gas turbine, which has more than twice the thermal efficiency. The only way to get a lot of power out of a nuclear plant is to massively scale up the entire process, and that's expensive. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Even some of President Trump's harshest critics are praising the successful mission with which he attacked Iran nuclear sites with bunker-busting bombs and other weapons. Now, there's a lot of ideology involved here. Most of those liberals and Democrats are criticizing the attack. Most conservatives and Republicans are praising it. Now, we had the Iranians launching a half dozen ballistic missiles toward the U.S. military base in Qatar. No casualties reported, perhaps because the New York Times reporting that Iran had warned Qatar this was coming. So that makes it more of a symbolic attack because it would be very different if Americans were killed. Nevertheless, many people looking at the president in a different way right now because he took the risk. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
So, this is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund.
In USDA's weekly crop progress report, the nation's spring wheat crop is looking decent in parts of the nation, but Montana, not looking great. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey.
Most of the crop, 93%, has emerged. That is 4 points behind the five-year average of 97% and last year's 99%. Montana, where drought has been an issue, just 79% emerged, far behind the five-year average of 98%. And with recent rains, that may improve, but certainly it is a late start for the crop there. Spring wheat heading 17% on June 22nd, five-year average 18%, last year at this time 16%. The heading range is from 7% headed in Minnesota all the way up to 65% in Washington State. And finally, a look at spring wheat condition for the week ending June 22nd, showing 54% of the crop good to excellent, 15% very poor to poor. A week ago, we had 57% of the crop rated good to excellent, 9% very poor to poor, far below last year's numbers. This time a year ago, we were at 71% good to excellent, 4% very poor to poor. Real spotlight on Montana, where 42% of the crop currently rated in very poor to poor condition, much of that due to drought early in the growing season.
As for Montana's winter wheat condition ratings, 38% of the crop rated good, 35% fair, and 27% rated poor to very poor. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
There we go. There we go. We are back. And we have on the line our friend Nancy from Roundup, and she has been waiting patiently. Nancy, what do you got for us?
Well, thank you so much, and good morning, John, and good morning, Montanans. I I've been doing a lot of thinking about this ceasefire between Iran and Israel. I didn't think that it was going to work. And we're talking about a country like Israel for centuries that has been persecuted and attacked, and their trust factor is zero. And they trust no one, not even President Trump. And the Iranians, let's face it, their heads are in the 7th century. They're just so backwards and just so convinced that, you know, the Quran and Muhammad, that everything there is the right thing to do. And they just can't seem to get out of that centuries-old train of thought. They're not living in the 21st century. And, you know, I was looking at our history here, and in 1786, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams took on the ambassador of Britain at that time, who happened to be a Muslim. And he was causing quite a conflict. And then, of course, let's not forget that Muslims did try to invade New York Harbor in 1801. And that's when President Thomas Jefferson called out the Marines and took them down. He just let them have it and, you know, just dropped all the ships. They just sank before they can get to the United States. So we've been having conflict with the Middle East and Muslims for a very, very long time. And one more thing to mention, Barack Obama. I blame him for so much of what's happening today. Let's go back in his term when he said Muslims built the very foundation of our nation. This has encouraged Muslims, including all these illegal alien Middle Easterners that have come into our country. They believe that they built the foundation of this country, that this is theirs. They're doing the same thing in the UK. They're telling the people of England that they own that they're the ones that founded the United Kingdom. I mean, it's just like an endless story, and it's really getting boring for me. And I don't know if I can say this on the air or not, but I completely and totally agree with what President Trump said, that they have been fighting, that Iran and Israel have been fighting for so long that they don't know what the F they're doing.
Yeah, you are dead on there. Thank you very much for the call, Nancy. And so we get into that so much here on Aaron Flint Show, on our podcast, on our spaces, just about every subject we take up. that problem, whatever we're dealing with at the moment, is traced right back to Barack Obama and his administration, his 8 years in that White House. And he said coming in, what he was looking for was the fundamental transformation of the United States, and he was not kidding. I think he's been the most transformational president in my lifetime, and brother, it was not for the good. Every single bit of it was bad. Look here, we got line one. We've got Pam from North Carolina. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Montana. I just want to remind your listeners that we need to stay on the federal land grab issue. It has fell from the mainstream media, and we need to continue this fight. Lee Zeldin is trying to take some of our federal land, declassify it, and give it to or sell it to developers, hoping to ease the housing crisis. We do not have a housing crisis. What we have is investors buying up houses and taking them off the market for rental and for purchase. But we need to stay on Lee Zeldin and his committee that are trying to do this, because our federal lands need to stay where they are, or they need to go to the states, which is the best possible outcome for this. But it does not need to go to developers for Section 8 housing.
I've been seeing a lot of talk about that online, but I can't seem to get any specifics on it. Do you know the specifics of where they're talking about doing it? What states, Pam?
It's mostly in the West. Utah is a state that's going to get hit the hardest from it. I think there are some lands in Montana that are being looked at, Wyoming, Idaho. It may even push into Washington State. There's not a lot of federal lands on the east side of the country. Most of that hits from the Mississippi and heads west. But it could be a considerable amount of land that is sold off to developers for this process. And it's not just going to be housing. It's going to be a complete redevelopment of land.
Hey, Pam, we're coming up to the break. Can you stay on and come back after the break? Because I think this is a subject that Montanans need to hear about. I mean, they really need to know about this, okay? Give us 10 seconds coming to the break, and I'll get you when we come back. All right, we're back. You still there, Pam?
I'm here.
The people of Montana... I've never lived in a state where the people where people cherish their wild places and their public lands and their public access any more than the state of Montana. And everyone needs to know what is being talked about here and what is being planned. If these people go through with what they're talking about, you could have vast amounts of our public lands sold off to private interests. For then, supposedly, this in because affordable housing, and we all know what affordable housing means. That's government slums. Am I right here?
You're exactly right. And the reason that I can speak to this in authority is because I've been a real estate developer and general contractor for the last 40-some years. And I have run up against people in large firms who will come in and buy large acreages and then completely strip it. There's no process to it. There's no foresight as looking at, we need to save some trees and we need to save some vegetation and we need to set aside green spaces. That doesn't happen. They wipe it out. They build their housing. They put in a shopping mall or a strip mall, and then they keep going and going and going. It does not stop. The Section 8 housing, the low-cost, low-income housing, there is a need for that, just not in our wild lands. Our lands need to be protected, because if we don't protect them, no one else will. And Montana just needs to step up and make their voice heard.
Absolutely. And we have seen. It's not like this is something new. Like, okay, let's try this project and see if it'll work this time. We've been looking at government-sponsored slums for how many years? 60 years minimum? I mean, maybe that whole idea started back in the 60s. And what has it been every single time is not only a massive failure, but a massive money hole as well. Not to mention the fact to put it on our beautiful public lands. I think the people of Montana, when they hear about this, they are going to be pissed, and they need to be reaching out to their congressmen and their senators and letting them know, hell no, we do not want any part of this, and y'all need to use your influence to make sure it doesn't happen. Is that all you had, Pam?
That's the only topic I had today, John. I just want to make Montana's mad enough that they'll start calling their representatives.
It is unfortunate. It is unfortunate. Thank you very much for the call, Pam. It is unfortunate that anger is what motivates people. A lot of times you got to have anger to get people up out of their chairs and spur them to action. But this is one of those things that we just can't have happen. It will be a disaster. It will fail. We know that through experience. There is the music. We will be back right after the break.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, we're back. And wanted to remind everybody, once again, you just heard before the break our caller, Pam from North Carolina, being a subject matter expert on the topic that we're talking about. Lady's been a real estate developer for over 40 years and is dead on expert on what she's talking about. And we've had people on the ground from New York this morning, people on the ground Middle East, people who are absolute subject matter experts at what the topic is, and they call in and they tell all of us about it and share their knowledge with us. And that's why, again, you have to always be listening to Montana Talks. I see Steve on the line here. Steve, stand by one. I've got to go on my rant of the morning here. And that regards our lawless judiciary. We saw at the beginning of the Trump administration, about a month and a half in, 2 months, that the Democrat Party was in complete disarray. They had nowhere to go. They lost both houses. They lost the White House. Where were they going to go? Well, they decided that where they were going to go, how they were going to stop President Trump, was through their radical leftist hacks wearing robes in the federal courts. And that's what they've done ever since. For the last 3 or 4 months now, it is just lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit and ridiculous ruling after ridiculous ruling. And all it is it's harassment. It is blocking. It is delaying. And also, a lot of this is set up too. Two-pronged attack in which they would like to catch President Trump or his people in some kind of contempt trap. And they make some of these rulings so ridiculous, so actually illegal against the written law, that they're trying to force the Trump administration into just ignoring it, and then they can claim he's in contempt. You saw that guy Boasberg try to do that about the planes in the air and people going down to El Salvador. Well, just a few days ago, the Supreme Court of the United States, the only people that should be telling the entire country what's up as far as the law, they ruled that President Trump can indeed send illegal aliens to third-party countries where they're not from. And most of the time that's happening, say, when these aliens, where they're from, the country won't accept them. And now it's done in other cases as well, but just specifically for that, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled he can do that. We already knew he could, but they said he can. Within 24 hours, you have a criminal federal judge up in Boston, Massachusetts, basically just tell the Supreme Court no. And how they ruled doesn't apply to him and his case up there. Absolute lawlessness. I mean, the worst yet. The worst that we've seen, where they actually give the middle finger. Another member of the judiciary gives the middle finger to the Supreme Court of the United States. And I think you might see Stephen Miller, Trump's deputy chief of staff, last evening said that this is absolute lawlessness and we will not tolerate it. And his words were, you're going to see some fireworks today. And this will probably be the point where the Trump administration puts their flag in the ground and says, no, we're not doing this. And that's exactly what they need to do. And by God, the Supreme Court of the United States also has in front of them that they need to go ahead and release as soon as they can the case on the nationwide injunctions. That should be coming out in the next week or so, and they need to deliver it now. All right, because this nonsense where one judge in one district, and I think there's 600 or 700 of these people, can just have a veto over the president of the United States on every move he makes is absolutely ridiculous. And I'll tell you why it's ridiculous. Go to a federal judge right here in Billings, Montana, right where our radio place is here. Go to a federal judge and ask him, I need a search warrant for a home in Wyoming. You know what he'll tell you? He'll say, I can't do that. I can't do this outside of my district. I'm sorry, you're going to have to go down to Wyoming and talk to the judge there. Go ask that same judge that you need an arrest warrant for a guy where none of the crime happened here. The crime happened down in Wyoming. He's going to tell you the same thing. Can't do it. Go to Wyoming. But somehow, in a civil case, not even criminal cases, in civil cases, these leftist hacks get to pass their ruling across the entire United States. I think it is patently unconstitutional, and it needs to stop right now. Unfortunately, we've got several justices on that Supreme Court that do not care for President Trump. And so it's a 50-50 where this is going to land. Now, I just can't tell you where it's going to land, but, you know, cross your fingers. Okay, we have on line two here Steve, who has been waiting patiently. What you got, Steve?
Good morning. On the federal land thing, there's something I really don't understand, how you could sell the land and then use it for low-income housing. If you look at, for example, I live in the Gallup Valley, and the federal land is on the fringe of the valley, basically borderline forest, Forest Service. Logistically and economically, you're not going to build affordable housing up in those what we call transitional zones from a buyer standpoint of view. You're just not going to do it. Affordable housing, if you're going to have it at all, is going to be more in the middle of the population centers, like in Bozeman or Belgrade, for example. So I guess I need to have a better understanding of how they plan to actually implement that. I mean, maybe they're going to sell the land and then use the proceeds to purchase private land in the valleys and do that development, but it doesn't make sense to me how they would accomplish that. That's all.
No, you're absolutely right, Steve. Thank you very much for the call. Yeah, I don't think anybody understands it. And I also think that's the way they like it. They like it when some plan like this is being hatched that they know everybody is going to object to, and nobody really knows what's up, and nobody's really talking about it. It's not out there in the news, and nobody's really outraged about it, so they can just implement it. They can do the Nancy Pelosi, right? They can just, we just have to sign the bill to see what's in it. They like it that way. I think that's purely intentional. All right, see, we have on line three, we got John. You there, John?
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
Just to kind of bring things back home just a little bit here, kind of take some of the heat off the politics, just an announcement. Aaron was a part of this last year. I'm currently the president of the Yellowstone Radio Club, And we have a worldwide event happening on the 28th. We're taking part in that. And we're going to have our setup at the Billings Zoo again. They've asked us to return from last year to do it again, so we're going to do that for them. We're going to expand it this year a little bit. We have some pretty awesome things that we have done over the last year for the general public that they may or may not know about in the way of radio communication for the general person that doesn't want to go out and study and get a license and stuff like that. It's called GMRS, General Mobile Radio Services. We have put up two repeaters at no cost to the public, and they have 100% access to them. We'll be telling people how to access those, for those that know what that is. And we'll have a bunch of ham radio operators out there. You can talk to us, see what we do. We're going to have presentations inside the zoo four times on Saturday. And we just like to invite the general public out to see what we do and see if we can help you out in your personal communications around the ranches and farms around the community.
That's this Saturday, John?
Yes, sir, it is. We'll start about 8 o'clock in the morning.
Outstanding. That actually sounds like fun. And that's some information that most people have no idea about. You know, thank you very much for the call, John. That's good stuff. And any time the public has got the ability to get their voice out, maybe be heard on something, that's the big thing, isn't it, right? Today especially, you don't have a voice anymore, do you? You don't. Even you used to be able to call your congressman or call your senator and all that, but nowadays they don't care if you're not one of their big donors. You know, if you're not donating, you know, $5,000 or $10,000 to them, then yeah, right. You know, talk to one of my staffers and blah blah blah. And, you know, we'll glad hand you and give you some word salad and nothing ever gets done. The little man doesn't seem to have a voice anymore. And if you can find that way, well, either here on Montana Talks Radio or out there on social media, which all of y'all out there, if you're interested in Montana Talks Radio, you ought to be out there on X, on Twitter. Get out there and get yourself an account. There is the news. There is the bumper music, and we are winding down to the break. We will be back with one last segment before the 8 a.m. hour, before we go live to Aaron Flint out in Big Sky. We will be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Total Wine and More. Find what you love at Total Wine and More. With so many great bottles all at the lowest price, it's easy to discover your favorite Cabernet or new single barrel bourbon with the help of their friendly guides. Every bottle comes with the confidence of knowing you found something amazing. With the lowest prices for over 30 years, find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine and More. Visit TotalWine.com. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. Must be 21.
Fox News commentary.
The LA Dodgers are committing $1 million to illegal immigrant families impacted by ICE. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
I'm a baseball fan, but not a Dodgers fan, and here's another reason why not. According to DHS, after agents briefly used the Dodgers parking lot to regroup after an operation, the Dodgers spun a narrative that ICE was attempting to conduct a raid at the stadium. Lies and half-truths like that are what caused panic and hysteria. But to make matters worse, in a virtue-signaling woke stunt, the Dodgers pledged $1 million to assist immigrant families impacted by ICE raids in L.A. First of all, there's a big difference between immigrant families and illegal immigrant families. Second, for the Dodgers to undermine federal law enforcement like this for a pathetic PR stunt is treasonous and disturbing. The Dodgers are the most woke team in baseball, and this latest move is yet another reason to root against them. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With mainly sunny conditions across the area for today, we'll see high temperatures ranging from the mid and upper 70s. Isolated shower storm chances late towards Billings mainly. As we head into tonight, still a few isolated showers or storms possible, mainly towards the Billings area. Partly cloudy otherwise, with overnight lows from the mid-40s in Bozeman to the mid-50s in Billings. That we'll see partly sunny skies Wednesday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
Hey, if you guys missed it, it was very early in the 6 o'clock hour of Monday's Montana Talks. Yellowstone County Commissioner Mike Waters is also a retired lieutenant colonel and Air Force B-1 bomber pilot veteran. We got his take on these B-2 bombers and the successful operation in Iran over the weekend. Great to get his insight as an actual bomber pilot. In fact, he was on one of the first bombing missions over Afghanistan.
Life changed.
Join over 1 million happy customers by going to audienhearing.com. That's A-U-D-I-E-N hearing.com.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Hey, welcome back. This is John Jackson. Had some breaking news here. Breaking news from President Trump about the very subject we were talking about earlier this morning, and that is regime change. And President Trump had this statement. President Trump said regime change might be necessary to liberate people from an oppressive government, but acknowledges that New Yorkers have to ultimately decide that for themselves. No, that's not actually a statement from President Trump. That is some fake news joking by John Jackson here. But, yeah, we'll see if the people of New York need regime change up there or not. It's in their hands right now. We were talking in the previous block about this public land sale. Well, that brings us right into the next topic, about public lands and what they can be used for and what it looks like the people of Florida are using some of their public lands for. It comes out that DHS has now approved the state of Florida for a plan for an illegal alien detention facility in the middle of the Florida Everglades. And isn't that a beautiful sight? Surrounded by alligators and snakes and mosquitoes, put a big bunch of them right there. And see, the beauty of that is not just that it's so isolated and out in the middle of nowhere, where you're not going to have these throngs of the Antifa communists coming to storm the place, but see, located in South Florida, that is geographically perfect for then flights to take some of these people wherever they need to go, one hop and you're down to South America, one hop and you're over to Central America, pop, you can be over to Africa. It is one of the southernmost point of the United States right there in South Florida. It's a perfect site for it. And I'll be the first to raise my hand if out in the middle of nowhere, say in eastern Montana, if they want to put up an illegal alien temporary housing center, I'll be down for that. Because I'll tell you guys, other than I had three things that I wanted to see from President Trump, the illegal aliens was one, the economy, the war, and also we have to go after all of these bad actors and criminals in the Joe Biden administration that victimized us and committed heinous crimes against humanity over the last 4 years. But the number one thing on that agenda, right, was get rid of all these illegal aliens. And that brings us right back to affordable housing, right? It all intertwines. You know what would solve the housing problem that we have right now is kick out all these illegal aliens. There are estimates. The estimates are all over the place. We truly don't know how many we have. But I've seen estimates of up to 22 million that Joe Biden led in here. Add that to the people that are already here. I mean, you're talking upwards of probably 40 or 50 million. Now, the mainstream media is never going to tell you that, but that's an easy estimate to look at. And how much of the housing are these people taking up? And you guys know that's one of the reasons that we had the housing crash in 08. And the thing that made it worse was that when all these illegal aliens that had houses out there, when they couldn't pay their mortgages anymore, they just split. They just split for home and left everybody else to pick up the tab. You know, that was one of the things that caused that thing to be way worse than it should have been. And I saw a great piece the other day, too, where these Democrats are trying to say, the United States has deported now 70 people that are U.S. citizens, and this is just not right. Well, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, there's a whole lot more than 70 of them that need to get deported, and I'm all down with that as well, and we'll make that list. All of us will sit down together and make that list. Well, there's the music, and we are coming up to the break here, and Aaron Flint will be back with you right after the top of the hour. Thank you very much, guys.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There's a concept used to describe different ways of producing energy known as energy density. You might think of it as the amount of land needed to produce a given amount of power from the different fuels, wind, solar, coal, gas, or nuclear. Physical footprint on a wind farm or a solar farm is huge compared to fuels with higher energy density such as gas and especially nuclear. But as blogger Austin Vernon has described, despite the extremely high energy density of nuclear fuel, technology has not emerged as a low-cost way to produce electricity, especially compared to alternatives like gas. And the reasons why might surprise you. Yes, regulation and fear of contamination are factors, but the biggest factor is purely economic. Under current technology, a controlled nuclear reaction energy source is a low heat source, much lower than a combined cycle gas turbine, which has more than twice the thermal efficiency. The only way to get a lot of power out of a nuclear plant is to massively scale up the entire process, and that's expensive. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.